The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 330. I hope all is well with you, and thank you for checking out this installment of the PVD Cast. My guest is making his return to the PVD Cast. He first showed up last year, March of 2021 to be exact, episode number 274. And of course, I'm talking about actor and podcaster Michael Spedden. I really would like to thank Michael for taking some time out of his very busy schedule to sit down and talk to me. And I know I say that all the time, but I really mean it in this instance because, well, there's kind of something that maybe you, the listener, should probably be clued in on. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and explain this world of podcasting to you. I originally had scheduled another guest for this week's episode. I had spoke to this individual late last week, and we had talked about maybe either Monday or Tuesday sitting down to record. But this past Saturday, this individual touched base with me and said, hey, my work schedule has changed. I can't do, Monday or Tuesday or even Wednesday. Can we do it, over the weekend? And I said, sure, absolutely. And I appreciate the fact that this guest did this, let me know in advance. Hey, my schedule is kind of messed up. So I began my search for another guest. And I put out literally 15 invitations, emails, whatever you want to call them, to various different folks. And I heard nothing. Radio silence. This has not happened to me in quite a number of years. I want to say going back to maybe about 2018, I think is the last time that I had such a dry spell. So I'm very happy and I'm very thankful that I threw it out in some of my podcasting groups saying, hey, this is the situation. Can somebody help me out? Michael said, I would love to come on and talk again with you, John. And so thank you again. I can't say it enough, Michael. I really do appreciate you coming back on. We're going to talk all about his podcast, which of course is Foul Players Radio. We're going to talk about his acting troupe, the Foul Players of Perryville. We're going to talk about his acting career, what it was like to be on the show Gotham and to do a national commercial and all that and more. But before we get to that conversation, I need to thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, that of course being World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about it all the time, but it's 100% true. World's Greatest Comics is a great comic book store that's got everything you need for your fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. I mean, hey man, if you need some Batman stuff, because hey, you see the connection there? Gotham, Batman, Michael. Anyways, if you need some Batman comics, they got them at World's Greatest Comics. They've got all the popular titles. You need to just stop by the store and see for yourself. Don't take my word on it. And that can be done, especially if you're in Central Ohio, by just going over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you can still check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. And they're even active on their Facebook page, which, of course, is at WG Comics. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Michael Spedden talking about acting, podcasting, and a whole lot more. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Michael Spedden. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, John. It's good to see you again. Yeah, you know, I just kind of dawned on me the other day. I hadn't seen a lot of my podcasting colleagues in a while, and I'm glad we kind of crossed paths and were able to get together on this. You know, we've worked together, you know, a good number of times. I think you know, you've been on my show
a couple of times.
Yeah. A panel about wrestling once, and then kind of individually. And I think I've been on yours too, at least once or twice. So, great to see you again. I'm glad you look well.
Thanks. You look like you're doing well too, and everything's absolutely a-okay down there in Maryland.
Well, as good as Maryland can be, you know, we're good as Maryland can be, you know. It's you know, getting ready to be summertime down here. It's my favorite time of being in Maryland. You know, it's summertime's always great. You know, the corn, the tomatoes, the crabs, you know, they are getting expensive down here. I'm planning on trading a kidney for a bushel of crabs. You know, it's about that expensive now. And I'll have to do that. But I always look forward to the summer down here. It's always a nice time. It's, you know, the winter time is kind of like a mixed bag. It's almost like Mother Nature has one of those like spinning wheels that you know, somewhere where they have the wheel, you spin it around and stops. Okay. That's how the weather is here. You know, one week it's 75 degrees in the winter, the other week it's freezing. Then we'll have a blizzard, and then we'll have a hurricane, and then we'll have, it's always a mixed bag down here. And, but I really like the summertime here. And that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. We have lots of good things on the agenda coming up. If I may tell you, I'm going to be the MC at the Havoc of Grace Jazz and Blues Fest, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I'll be announcing a number of the headlining acts, bringing them onto the stage. And I did a voiceover for their commercial out there. And I had to use this voice. Live music is back at the Havoc of Grace Jazz and Blues Fest. And they're a great group to work with, the Havoc of Grace Arts Collective. Havoc of Grace is a town in Maryland. And it's actually French for Harbor of Grace. It's Havre de Grace, or they call it Havre de Grace, if you wanted to use the proper French. But since it's in Maryland, not too far from Baltimore, it's Havre de Grace. That's kind of how it's pronounced, you know. And lots of great cultural activities going on in that town. And I'm happy to be part of it. You know, they're always great to me, and I enjoy working with the Havre de Grace Arts Collective. So, I've got that going on. I just did a movie.
Let's talk about it. Let's not bury that lead. Let's talk about it here, because want to talk about your acting career as well as your mm-hmm. podcast and everything else. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but let's go ahead. Let's talk about this movie. What role do you have? When is it coming out? Give us all the details.
The release date is to be announced yet. All the filming is done, I believe. And now they have post-production work, adjusting the sound, editing, a lot of those things are going on. I'm told it's going to be this year, but I'm not entirely sure yet. And we know how it is in this business. It's never over until the fat lady sings. So I filmed part of it. I did. My character is kind of the fellow that his picture, you know, the director and the producer, J.D. Ellenberger. He's done a number of things. The Noctambulist was his film before this one. This one is called The Lachrymose Primrose. And I can't give away much of the plot, but my character is almost, I'm a radio announcer named Kevin Loberman. Have you ever seen The Warriors?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you remember in The Warriors how it would cut back and forth to a lady DJ?
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's my part is kind of a tribute to that.
Okay.
And a couple of my foul players are in the movie too, you know. Alfred Guy, who I've co-hosted on Foul Players Radio with, and he's a regular with my murder mystery, was in it. Michelle Mullins had she was the female lead in the movie too. And we have a whole bunch of foul players in it. I went to Johnny. I said, look, you're stealing all my people, you know? And, but you know, it's very, very happy. Oh, and also Donna Madison, another one of my foul players, has a small part in it as well. So, you know, it's a movie full of foul players, and it's going to be good. I really like the idea behind it. Again, I can't give away the plot, and I really don't want to give it away or anything like that. You whenever I've been given enough leeway to like talk about that much of it, but you know, producers and people like that really don't like you giving anything away. But I was happy to do it. You know, Johnny and I go back a long ways. He's worked for me. He was in Polar Express with us this past winter time. We did the Polar Express again this year, and I tell you what, that was a real challenge. One of my biggest clients for murder mystery for the Foul Players of Perryville is the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. And that's in Cumberland, Maryland, out near West Virginia, way out in the very end of the panhandle. We do Polar Express out there in the wintertime, as well as murder mystery the rest of the year. And it's a children's show. And we have, you know, the dancing hot chocolate chefs, and we have elves, and we have Santa and the hobo and all the other characters from the movie. We had some real challenges this year because of COVID. A couple of people in the cast, you know, didn't get COVID on the train, but got it before they were supposed to report. And we had to scramble to recast parts and get people in, and, you know, just call people that we happen to know from previous projects and other things that we worked on to get it covered. And miraculously we did. You know, my wife was the director and producer a couple of years ago, and she really put together a good program for us to kind of emulate going forward. She did all the choreography, and she did, it was really her idea that kind of drove, you know, what they wanted us to do with Polar Express. You know, we had a license with Warner Brothers to do the show, and there were certain things that had to be in there by contract, but you had a little bit of leeway with some other things, you know, things like choreography and some things like that. And my wife really did a bang up job, and she came back and joined the cast this year, you know, on a little bit less of a, you know, more of a part-time basis, but it turned out to be really well. You know, we got through it. We really had a feeling of accomplishment once we got through it, because we really had some ups and downs. I went through, I think about 5 or 6 Santa Clauses. We had a number of people. I think we had about 40 people go through the cast, you know, a cast of about 20. And it was a real challenge to get through it, but we did. And we had smiling faces and a happy railroad when we were done.
So, there you go. There you go.
I was real pleased with that. So I've been doing that. And, you know, that's really, you know, a number of other smaller projects here and there, too. And podcasting, of course, you know.
Well, let's talk for a minute real quick, because we kind of glossed over it. The Foul Players of Perryville, it's an acting troupe. And yes, you want to talk you want to tell the listeners how you got involved with it, what your role is, you know, how long it's been around, maybe a brief history of it.
Yes. I've been doing murder mysteries now for since 2016. I was in another play in Maryland back in that year, 2016, and I met a fellow by the name of Herb Otter. And Herb owned Otter Productions, which was a murder mystery company that had the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad, the Middletown and Hummelstown Railroad in Middletown and Hummelstown, PA, the Pride of the Susquehanna boat in Harrisburg, the Black Eyed Susan, which was in Baltimore at the time, and a couple of other venues, you know, some restaurants and some halls, New Freedom Railroad in New Freedom, PA. And at the end of 2018, he decided that he wanted to do something else. And he had been running it for about 30 years. So he divided the company. I bought half and Jill Redding bought half. So I got a couple of the venues and she got a couple of the venues. Now, of course, we work together on this. You know, we have all the same people. We just, before we cast something, we called each other and say, well, you don't have Karen tonight, do you? No. Well, I have Adam tonight. Okay. So, you know, we make sure that we don't overcast, or, you know, make sure that we're not doubling up on people. And we do murder mystery shows in these venues. And, you know, I cast Jill quite a bit. You know, I work for Jill quite a bit too. And the murder mysteries are fun. We keep them clean. The humor is above the belt, no cussing or anything like that. You know, you could bring, I'd say it's probably PG. You know, sometimes, you know, parents bring their kids with them, and they're usually dinner shows on these different venues, and they're a good time. They're comedies. It usually observes, it usually consists of a play with a silly situation going on, which ends up with an absurd death. Some of the death weapons that we have are somebody dies by getting in, by getting impaled with lawn darts. There's a death with a tennis racket through the chest. There's another death with a car dipstick through the neck. Another one with, oh gosh, let me see, a large model chess piece through the chest. Another one with a cobra that goes through somebody's head. You know, there's so many different scenarios we have. We have them from all different periods of time and different holidays, different occasions. We have some about baseball, about football, tennis, you name it. We have a, you know, pretty much a show for all occasions, and you know, the people laugh and have a good time. And, you know, we'll go and we have our regular venues. And then we also go where people will have us. And we've got some really good people in the troupe. You know, we have, of course, Jill Redding. We have a fellow named Robert Lovett who years ago, I'm sure you probably remember growing up before like Fox and the CW and the WB came to be. A lot of towns and, you know, cities had independent stations.
Yep. Yes.
Right. You know, Robert worked for a guy who, if you ever saw, think UHF by Weird Al Yankovic, mm-hmm. you know how they had that little station mm-hmm. and they had to come up with all the programming. Well, that yep. was how a lot of these small stations were. A lot of times they would have one person there, and I just had one fellow on, Dick Dizel from WDCA in Washington, D.C., who was Captain 20, as well as Count Gore Duvall, who did the horror show. He was Bozo the Clown. He was another character for a children's show that was on. And you know, he pretty much ran the all the independent local programming on there. Had another guest, the daughter of Captain Chesapeake from WBFF Baltimore Channel 45. He was Captain Chesapeake back, and he would introduce the cartoons in the morning before you went to school. And then after school, he would have the Three Stooges and Bugs Bunny on for you. And he would be the announcer. And, you know, so Robert was the puppeteer for a fella who did a lot of this programming.
Okay.
And then a number of the other people we have, you know, we have Robert Lovett, of course, you know, my wife, who's been performing with me. She's been on Law and Order SVU, performed at the Jupiter Theater. Actually, with another previous guest, Ted Lang, they were in Driving Miss Daisy together years ago down there.
Okay.
I've got, you know, another, you know, Adam Long, who's a really good improv actor. Alfred Guy, who has been my co-host, was in Lacrimose with me. And he normally likes to co-host Foul Players Radio with me whenever we get a horror guest on. And he's this guy, Alfred, is he's a great actor. He's a good fight choreographer, and he is also like a walking encyclopedia of horror movies.
Oh,
he could stump anybody. He knows. I mean, if you, I've been in his basement before, and his basement looks like an old Blockbuster store. I mean, just, I think he says he's got something like 30,000 titles.
Holy cow.
I mean, he has got, or maybe 3,000, I don't know, but he's got, I mean, it's just nothing but, yeah. And not only does he know all the American ones, you know, he knows all the Hammer films from Britain. He's got all the Universal ones. He's got all the, he's got ones from like Italy, all over Europe. I mean, he has just got so many of them, and he's just a real expert on that. You know, he does a great job with us. Gosh, let me see, Diane Maestro, Selene Densmore, Kendra Kaiser, Jessica Preactor. She's a young lady who she just joined us. I've known her since she was 13. My wife and I performed with her at Baltimore Actors Theater. Mm-hmm. She's very, very high energy, very, very funny. You know, we've got, you know, Earl Scoggins, who was around with the old Otter Productions, Karen Lucis, Chris Barsom, Glenn Richmond. I've got a really good group of people together. I really do. Richard Clayton's another one. You know, I can put together a five-person show with any combination of the actors that are in the troupe. And I feel, and I have absolutely no question that I'll put on a great show no matter who I pick. And everybody gets along. You know, we don't have the bickering and the drama. You know, everybody gets along. Everybody plays nice in the sandbox and everybody plays nice together during the shows. So I can't ask for better.
Do you have any upcoming projects that you are going to be doing with the Foul Players of Perryville?
Yes, yes. We have a, actually, we have a Mother's Day show, which is going to be on Mother's Day from 12 to 3 on Maryland Party Boat. Information about that is on our website, www.foulplayersofperryville.com. We've got that one. We've got the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad train on May 14th. We have on Father's Day, we have another Maryland Party Boat show. And then we also have June 4th and June 11th on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad too. You know, they've been great to us, you know, Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. You know, it's just such a, it's a nice drive out there. I really enjoy it. It's about, actually, you know, for us to get out there, it's about a 3.5 hour drive, but we're all together in the car. You know, we're talking, we're having a good time. It's great camaraderie, great bonding time. We talk about the show. We do a nice big pregame on the way out there. It's, and then we get out there and do the show. We can't ask for a better environment to perform in either, you know?
That's good.
And then we go home. We go home and we listen to podcasts on the way home, you know.
Well, you know what? Speaking of podcasts, let's talk about Foul Players Radio. Why did you get started with podcasting?
You know, I had always wanted to do this here. I had heard a number of podcasts on, you know, that were about the entertainment business. And, you know, I looked around, you know, I've been a performer in the Mid-Atlantic since the 80s. You know, I played in my... had my big hair bands back in those days, had my goth bands back in those days. And, you know, way before I started performing, you know, there were bands that were, you know, you may not have known them outside of like Maryland, Virginia, Delaware, but in this area, they were like the Rolling Stones, you know, DC Star, Face Dancer, the Ravens, before the football team Ravens. You know, this was the Ravens with a Y instead of an E. There was, let me see, Crack the Sky, Kicks. And then, like I'd mentioned before, with the TV personalities. And I was like, you know, there is a great history of music, TV, entertainment in this region. And, you know, a lot of the folks were getting older. You know, they're dying off, you know, people. And I really thought that, you know, these folks would have good stories, and they do. You know, when I'm able to get them on, you know, I'm able to, you know, make it happen. And I really thought that this history should be preserved. You know, these stories should be archived somewhere. And, you know, a lot of the people that I've, you know, I've had a couple of people that just weren't interested in doing it. You know, they're out of it. You know, they're retired or not performing anymore and just want to leave it alone. But for the most part, you know, people are glad to come on and reminisce and tell me their stories about all their performances over the years, their good times, their not so good times, their Spinal Tap moments. And there have been a lot of people that really have appreciated what I'm doing. And it's led to other things. I have one gentleman by the name of Bud Becker. Hammerjacks was a huge nightclub in the Baltimore area. I'd say from 75 until I'd say the mid 90s. And they had the biggest nightclub on the East Coast. And they used to have national acts there. And Bud was in charge of booking the bands there. I got in touch with him to tell me Hammerjacks stories. And we actually did two episodes on Hammerjacks. And then I found out that from the 60s into the 70s and into the 80s, he was a concert promoter. When he got out of the service in the late 60s, he got into promoting concerts, and he booked the Doors at the Alexandria Roller Rink. He booked, Black Sabbath and Uriah Heep and Humble Pie and Rod Stewart, Jeff Beck. And then he went on the road again with Alice Cooper and Liza Minnelli, Alice Cooper, Liza Minnelli, Uriah Heep, Rush, Yes, Seals and Croft. gosh, so many more. So we've been doing episodes of that. You know, he actually released a bunch of CDs of his stories a number of years ago. So what we do is I do a little Q&A with him at the beginning of each episode. And then we actually, he gave me the CDs to actually put the audio in at the end. So we can listen to him just tell the story, you know, straight from the horse's mouth. And, you know, he knows everything. And he's got some great stories. Oh my God.
I bet he does.
You know, you know, just, you'll have to check them out. You know, I can't, I'll end up talking to you all night about those, you know, if I get into that, but,
Would you say that those are your favorite episodes that you've done?
Yeah. I really enjoy those. And then I've, you know, some of the people like from local television, I just had, as I mentioned before, Dick Dizel. I used to watch Captain 20 when I came home from kindergarten. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was a Captain Chesapeake was on WBFF in Baltimore. He was a ship captain and he had Mondi the Sea Monster and he was always in the Chesapeake Bay. But the thing is, instead of all the beautiful scenery and waterfowl and everything in the background, they always had him superimposed in front of Bethlehem Steel. And, you know, Mondi the Sea Monster kind of looked like an alligator with a horn sticking out of his head. He would pop up out of the water and he would kind of be superimposed in the background, you know, and with the water quality down there, you would have think Mondi would have popped up and been like a skeleton or something. So, but we used to watch him and then Captain 20, instead of him being a ship captain, he was a spaceship captain. So he would wear this this like Martian looking outfit with big Spock ears. So I had him on to tell his stories about, you know, coming up and coming up in television and running that station until those stations became, you know, kind of got bought out. And then he moved on to doing other things, but he still does Count Gore Duvall. But it was great to hear his stories. It was great to hear how the television stations around Maryland, you know, evolved into what they are now. You know, those days. I even wrote one of my murder mysteries kind of about a station that was going through those transformations. Cause I don't know if you remember, you know, years and years ago, TV wasn't on all night.
Right. They signed off at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Usually there would be like a reverend from a local church would come on and do like a prayer minute where they would, you know, offer a prayer for about 5 minutes or something. And then they would say, you know, we're signing off. And then they would have like a little film and they would have the American flag and play the national anthem and then go to a test pattern until like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I wrote a murder mystery about a TV station that was going through that. Actually, I had Jill Redding play the Reverend. She played the Reverend Goodness Gracious. Yeah, that was a fun show. That was a fun show. But you know, even having people on like Jill, I mean, you know, when Homicide and The Wire were being filmed in Baltimore, that was huge.
I from what I've heard and what I've read, that was a big deal for that city.
It really was. It really was. And then there was also The Corner, that was kind of in between Homicide and The Wire, and you know, and then there was also some that were filmed here partially, but not fully. You know, there was, you know, and I've had a number of people that have worked for you know, that have been on like The Veep and House of Cards, which were kind of filmed here, and a little bit here, a little bit in DC. I've had people come on that were in John Waters movies.
Yeah, I was going to ask about John Waters.
Yeah, I've never worked with him, but I've worked with people that have worked with him. George Stover was one of his actors. I've been in a couple of things with him. George was his biggest John Waters role was in Desperate Living, where he played a husband who had a mentally ill wife, and he was killed from Gene Hill sitting on his face. Gene Hill, if you've ever been to like a gag gift store, you've probably seen Gene Hill. She was a really, really big, heavy African-American lady who was on greeting cards back in the 70s and 80s. You'd know her if you saw her, I'm sure. Okay. But she played the maid and, you know, she ends up, you know, there was a confrontation between the two of them, you know, in typical John Waters style, she sits on his face and kills him. and then she and the wife end up going out on the lam, and they end up in a, I think a town called Mortville. And that movie's a real piece of work, like his early stuff is. But there's such a history here, you know, people mm-hmm. like him, Barry Levinson, mm-hmm. You know, the diner. I've had a couple of people that worked on the diner. You know, there is a really rich history here. Then, you know, a lot of the great bands that have come through here, a lot of the great concerts. There is a real history. And I've just barely scratched the surface with what I've done. And I plan on continuing to do more, you know, as long as I can get the people who, you know, to do it. Now, one of the challenges that you have with this, too, is that some of the people are getting older.
Yeah.
And right. Some people may not be as sharp. They may not be in the best of health. They may just be done with it, not wanting to talk about it. Yeah. And there could be other things, too. You know, there could be bad memories. There could be bad blood with somebody. Or they could just, you know, want to be grandmom or grandpa
mm-hmm.
going forward here. So, but, you know, I'm going to keep going. And, you know, and again, a lot of the people that have done it and participated have thanked me, and they really enjoy doing it. And I plan to continue on doing it as long as I can.
So where can folks find Foul Players Radio? Where can they find the podcast?
Well, we have foulplayersradio.com. That is our Buzzsprout site. That's pretty much the home site of it. However, if you want to see my face for radio, you can tune into our YouTube channel. Now, we just started the YouTube channel, I'd say maybe in March or February. And we have maybe about, not quite a dozen episodes on there yet, but you can see those there. Foul Players Radio on YouTube. And then there's also, you know, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify,
the usuals.
Yeah. The usual suspects out there, all of those, but, any of those spots, you can see it as well. And that's pretty much it. Then I also, you know, I post them on Facebook. There is an actual Foul Players Radio page on Facebook. We also have there's also the Foul Players of Perryville website. I have a player on there, where you can go to the foulplayersofperryville.com and hear the podcast there. You can see our calendar and all the other dates there as well. So that's another spot where you can see it. So it is out there for your listening pleasure.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Michael for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It is the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs, and they are an awesome sponsor of the PVD cast. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a clean store, a friendly staff. They are truly a five-star comic book store. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, you should check them out. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. And their Facebook page is at WG Comics. Please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest from yours truly right here on the PVD cast. Well, let's talk just on a couple more topics real quick here. Let's talk mm-hmm. about, you know, some of the other roles that you have had in your mm-hmm. acting career. You had a stint on Gotham playing Dale.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, probably most people know you from the J.G. Wentworth ad. You got to play the Viking, and mm-hmm. Also Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt in the movie Kimmy versus the Reverend. Talk to me a little bit about the experience of being involved in, and I'm going to use this not in a negative way, but in I mean no disrespect, but in a bigger type of role in a bigger type of production. What was the experience like?
Oh, it was awesome. It was phenomenal. I would have to say, my first network show was Gotham, and I have to say I couldn't have picked three nicer guys to make my, you know, network television debut with. Robin Lord Taylor, Corey Michael Smith, and Andrew Sellen were just amazing to me. We got along well when we weren't shooting, you know, in between takes when they had to rearrange everything. they were just great to me. Just good conversationalists, really, really nice guys. You know, Corey and Robin were a couple of characters backstage. You know, the two of them were always cutting up. They're good friends outside of the show. And they were also friends with Andrew. I've had Andrew as a guest on Foul Players Radio, too. But that was just, you know, I went up and auditioned for that. And I auditioned for two different parts. One was Dale, which I got, which involved me going in and making dumb faces. And the other one was the mutant that was in that tunnel. Mm-hmm. And the mutant was in the tunnel. I auditioned for that. I had to go in and make scary faces and noises. And I think I'm glad that I ended up getting Dale, because the mutant, you only ended up seeing like in a blur. And Dale, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, on Twitter, there's a whole universe of Gotham fans on there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got on there and I started tweeting back and forth. I guess that's how it works. I don't know. I'm old, but
that's not how it's supposed to work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no viciousness or anything like that. Yeah. Or no people yelling at me, but I just shared some pictures I had from there. That the people on Gotham, I got to tell you, I really hope the show comes back, whether I'm involved or not, because these people, it's almost like they are just such a close-knit community. They are unified that they want the Gotham episodes that they didn't get. They canceled season 5 early, and I believe it was supposed to go to 7. So it got like halfway through 5, and then they canceled the show. I actually was on the last episode filmed and the third to last shown. But I really hope these people get their Gotham, whether I'm in it or not. You know, they've been great to me. They've sent me some fan art. Some people drew pictures of me and sent it over. And I love them. I love them. They're really great to me. The J.G. Wentworth Viking commercial, I had some concerns about that one recently, because, you know, everybody's seen that commercial. Everybody knows about it. But the problem was that people were starting to make memes with the Buffalo Horns guy that broke into the White House, or not the White House.
No, you know, really? Yeah,
people started making memes, not of me, but you know, the Buffalo Horns guy, the guy that broke into the Senate.
Yes.
They started putting pictures of him up and saying 877 cash now. And I was scared to death that people were going to reverse it and think I was that guy.
Yeah.
You know, things like that have happened. You know, a number of years ago at Penn State, when that football coach got in trouble for the little boy stuff, His name was Jerry Sandusky. Well, there was a sportscaster in Baltimore by the name of Jerry Sandusky, and even spelled it different. He was G-E-R-R-Y instead of J-E-R-R-Y. But the thing was that he was getting death threats at the station. And people were threatening him and his family over that. And because all they did, they knew sports and the name Jerry Sandusky.
Right.
And they thought he was that guy, that coach that ended up going to jail for that. And I was like, oh my God, all I need is somebody to reverse that and to think that I'm that guy, or, you know, something happened to me, but it didn't, you know. And luckily I was very fortunate that way. But I got to tell you too, you know, I did that right after Gotham. I think I did Gotham right around Christmas of 18, or right around Thanksgiving of 18. And then right after New Year's, I did the Wentworth commercial. And I really had a great time on that one. I met some very nice people. I'm in touch with just about everybody on that commercial. You know, Mike Funk, the construction worker, Lothair Eaton was the gentleman in the back of the bus. And the makeup artists that were on there, the hair and makeup people, the other actors on there, just super, super nice people. It was a long shoot. It was about a 10-hour shoot. We were on that bus playing that song all day. And, you know, they fed us well. They took good care of us. It was a really fun day with just a wonderful, fun group of people. Kimmy Schmidt was another great experience. That was filmed up in Congers, New York, just above New York City, small town, on your way to the Catskills from there. And just, again, I couldn't ask for a nicer group of people. Claire Scanlon was the director. I did get to speak to Tina Fey very briefly. She was running around like a chicken with her head cut off, like mother hen. Very, very busy. But she came over and said a couple of nice things to me. And of course, working with Ellie Kemper and Titus Burgess were just great people. The band Son of Skinner that was in the scene I was in, they were really nice guys, too. And I've had their bass player on my podcast, too. And then Paul Lazar was in that scene as well. I don't know if you know his name, but if you ever saw Silence of the Lambs and you remember the guys that knew all about the bugs.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys with the really? Guys that was. Yeah. He was the guy who said, I saw that guy in the Kroger and there's something wrong with the crows around here.
Okay.
He was the guy who was playing chess with the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Silence of the Lambs. That was him. So, he was a real nice guy, too. And I have to say, I've been very, very lucky so far. You know, and then some of the other things I've done, like some ID discovery shows, those are a lot of fun to do as well. I was just on Murder Under the Friday Night Lights back in November and played the part of a detective. On this particular show, though, it's a lot of times when you're one of the people reenacting and not one of the actual people that was involved in the case. When they show the reenactment in this one, they sometimes they kind of soften you or blur you or they may shoot you from behind or from the neck down or something. But, you know, they were great to work with. It was called Lion TV was the production company, and I've worked for them a few times. I think they're a British company and they make I think they've made some of the shows that were a little bit shorter in tenure. I think normal shows go about 26 or 30 episodes a season. I think they do like a bunch of mini ones that are like 6 or 8 episodes, but that they're a lot of fun to work with too. You know, so I have to say, you hear about people, you know, these Hollywood stories and these people in, you know, professional acting about this person's awful, that person's awful, this person treated me terribly. I have to say I've been very blessed both locally and in my, you know, big professional jobs that I've just had great people to work with and nothing but good things to say.
That's good. That's excellent. Can I ask real quick, who is your favorite actor or actress?
Oh boy. There's a number of them out there. I love John Candy. You gotta love John Candy. I love Rainn Wilson, Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman. There's so many of them out there that I've really enjoyed growing up. I tend to, I usually like older movies. Maybe that's just because, you know, the era that I grew up in and everything. But I tend to like older movies. I like a lot of character actors, like the, if you look back at 60s television, there was the people who were like the Sid Caesars, the, Vito Scotties. I like a lot of that guys. Okay. If you've ever, and you see them nowadays too, you know, like there's that guy and, they show up on every sitcom that's out there. I like a lot of people like that, you know? And then I also like, you know, a number of ones, you know, like from the older days, you know, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi. I really liked Lon Chaney Jr. from the old Universal horror movies. Quite a few out there that I really enjoy and like, you know.
Cool. Well, let's start to wrap things up. But before we do that, we are a few days away from Mother's Day. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to say a couple of things real quick about moms out there. Mm-hmm. You do a great job. And, you know, it's especially nowadays, I think it's very tough to be a parent, whether you're a father or a mom. Michael, anything you want to say about your mom? Maybe favorite memories or whatnot?
My mother is an extraordinary lady. She really, you know, from the beginning, you know, I just gave, you know, we just had my father's celebration of life a couple of weeks ago. And one thing that I think really gave us an advantage growing up is that we were raised with expectations.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah, you know, we were raised with expectations. You know, my parents were supportive of whatever we wanted to do, but you know, you had to get something under your belt that's going to allow you to eat and something that you are good at that you can support yourself. You know, my parents, my mother, you know, pushed us in that way. You know, she made sure that, you know, we got the best grades we could, which was a struggle with me for a number of years, but I pulled it out. She made sure that we were, good to people, treated people decently, that we looked out for each other, me and my siblings. You know, my mother is very dedicated. She also taught me that, you know, if you have to be very dedicated to causes that are important to you. My mother has been active in the community ever since I was a kid, you know, the PTA and the Mother's Club and then other things as well. You know, she's always been big on finding things that were important to her and dedicating her time and efforts to making sure they happen. My mother is always good at putting her best effort out there to make sure that we're exposed to things that are beneficial to us and educational. And she does that. I have a little niece who's about 12, and my mother is always taking her to the symphony and taking her on day trips to go see things, to give her some culture, to show her things she can learn from. And they always do things together. And, my mother, I think, is just, she's an extraordinary person, and I love her. I really do. I owe her a lot. And I have to say, growing up, she put up with a hell of a lot.
I was going to say the same thing. My mother and I at times have butted heads many mm-hmm. times in the past, just because I think for me, my hardest thing is that I have become more of my mother the older mm-hmm. I get.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that has led to sometimes us clashing as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for me, my mom, again, very supportive as well, taught me, not to tolerate disrespect. That was mm-hmm. the one thing I will say about my mom. That was the big characteristic, is she don't put up with that shit. I mean, if you're going to be disrespectful, she's going to come at you. But overall, I agree, with many of the things you said. There was expectations for me to do the best I can at everything I do. And she's a very important person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. To be courteous, to be respectful of people, to be grateful for people that do things for you, and to find things that are important to yourself and to dedicate yourself to it is what my mother has taught me in life. And and I tell you, she went the extra mile for me a whole bunch of times, too. So she definitely took one for the team for me, I tell you, quite a bit. So,
Well, to all the mothers out there, I hope you have a very good Mother's Day. I'll say that in advance. And with that, Michael, let's run it down one more time, where folks can find you online, website, and all that jazz.
You can find, you can find on Facebook and Instagram, you can find Michael Spedden, Foul Players of Perryville, and Foul Players Radio there. You can find me at @Foul_Radio on Twitter. And I believe it's at Spedden Michael on Twitter. And I don't understand how to use Twitter very well, but people are nice to me on there, which I want to keep it that way.
There you go.
And that's weird, I know. But I have TikTok, but I'm not that good at that yet either. You can find Foul Players of Perryville and I think Foul Players Radio and Michael Spedden on TikTok. And I also have www.foulplayersradio.com, www.foulplayersofperryville.com too. So you can find me in all of those places, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and on my regular website. So please come in. Hear the stories that I've gathered from all of these generous people who have given me their time.
All right. With that, I can't say it any better, Michael. So I'm just going to end it right here. I mean, that was a great plug. Michael, thanks again so much for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, John. I will. I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
You got it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Michael, talking about his acting career, his podcast, the Foul Players of Perrysville, and of course, Foul Players Radio, which you should definitely check out an episode or two. Seek it out. It's available through all those major podcasting outlets, which is funny because I'm going to do that here in just a few moments to tell you where you can hear the PVD cast. But I digress. Again, Michael, thank you very much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. Now I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have some comments about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlandoPVDcast.com is my email address. And you can even leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. And now, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, I'm going to run down all the places where you can hear this great podcast. Obviously, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and a great place to catch episodes. But it's also available through all of those podcasting platforms, you know, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, etc., etc. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And once you listen to an episode, please rate and review. Helps me out in the algorithm so much. I really appreciate it. Give me whatever rating you think I deserve and put down any comment that you like. You know, I mean, you could just write down the word awesome if you like or whatever. You don't have to write a lot is what I'm getting at. So it's really important to me. So please rate and review. And also, don't forget to subscribe. And then that way you will never miss another episode of the PVD cast. Every Monday night, I do a kind of a cool thing through the Facebook page, and that is where I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So if you want another way to hear the PVD cast, here it is, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through at PVD cast, which of course is the Facebook page for this podcast. And it's a great amount of fun because I hang out in case anybody has questions or concerns, and it's a chance to kind of interact with me a little bit more. So definitely check it out. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.